Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 258 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, your humble webmaster and forum administrator. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, the always articulate Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, thank you very much for the nice intro. It's nicer than the words I got last night from my best mate's youngest daughter, where she called me fat and then 20 seconds later called me jiggly.
Well, you know, John, our good friend Jasmine, had a great YouTube series all about jiggling. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but yeah.
It's hypnotic, a lava lamp.
From the mouths of babes, huh? The kids with their no filter.
Oh, yeah. I got mean girl by a 3-year-old.
So always a harsh way to spend a Saturday night.
Yeah. But,
we are back on the air this week. Unfortunately, we couldn't record last week. Bit of a mix-up there. I was going to try and record a solo show. I did a couple of solo shows earlier in the year, as you know, Ben. I tried. I didn't like the sound of my own voice, basically. It is obviously a lot easier to do the show with a co-host, with you or Kenny or some of the other hosts that we've had over the years, of course. Much easier to record the show, much better to actually have a conversation with someone as opposed to me ranting for an hour or so about everything. So I decided to skip it at the end of the day. I just didn't have it in me to do a solo show, but it's given us a couple of weeks to catch up on, and we actually do have news. You know, we're actually getting into the thick of the preview season, so it's less waiting around now. Although there is still some waiting, I guess.
Well, I mean, that was my apologies. Spending time with family, but didn't help. Family member who's like 90 years old with Alzheimer's. He lost his wallet and, you know, was stressing out a bit, and then he also got sick. So it was a bit of a stressful time. So, yeah.
I think things happen. Life gets in the way. It's all good. We're back on the air, and we have even more to discuss this week. Some exciting developments, I guess, and we should tip things off with some NBA Live 19 news. And one of the top stories from the past couple of weeks is the introduction of female creator player in NBA Live 19. This is the first time in a basketball game, we'll be able to, I believe, certainly in a sim title like Live or 2K, that we're able to create a female baller. The face scan is also going to work with ladies playing the game. They've got all the assets, obviously, with the WNBA players, hairstyles and body types and everything. All the models are in there. So women will be able to put themselves in the game. And it's obviously a pretty cool development, and it will let them play as themselves in the streets, either with live run, live events, and the Pro-Am Tour, but there's actually no WNBA mode as such at the moment, but maybe in the future.
Yeah, well, it's a good building block. You know, they'll obviously have the NBA sort of playing now still, but yeah, it's a good building block for next year in terms of where they want to go with it. It's been a long time coming in terms of being able to, you know, have female face scans and stuff like that. I've actually run a couple of ideas by Shady for some potential videos and stuff like that. So there might be some things in the works with regards to some of the ideas that I threw him for that. So I mean, there's still a little bit of fair depth amount to it in terms of what they've done. Obviously, Live's team is a very small development team compared to, you know, FIFA and even 2K and that. So,
although that could change in the future with the
Madrid
EA Madrid studio, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, big expansion there in terms of, you know, the traditional size of the development team. So, they got a, you know, cool introduction and a cool way for them to build a foundation for, you know, for the years to come for the female female gaming side of things. So that's really cool to see. It just looks like fun and definitely new ways to play in terms of like how different the WNBA mode felt to the NBA mode, and the fact that, you know, you could play females against the males and that. So, you know, you can have that battle of the sexes sort of stuff if you wanted to, or, you know, guys can play with their kids and stuff, like little girls or partners and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's
for
all
sure.
All fun and games.
And they're looking at, in the future, introducing being able to go into the WNBA as far as a career mode is concerned. I would hope some kind of seasonal franchise mode for the WNBA would be really good as well. That would be a really good hook for Live, I think. This is a really good start, though. It really takes advantage of having the WNBA players as part of the Streets and the Pro-Am Tour, the Streets World Tour, I should say. Everything that's involved with that. I think it's a great idea, and obviously it makes it more accessible to the other half of the demographic, I suppose, in a manner of speaking. Predictably, there's been some pushback from Childishness and online, because this is the internet, and gamers, sometimes we are a very petulant bunch, unfortunately. You know, we don't really like to get very political or you know, social, I suppose, on the NLC podcast or in our articles, but it is disheartening to see some of the remarks that people have been making, really about something that, if you don't want to play it, if you don't want to create a female player, you don't have to. It's not like they've taken out the ability to make men, so you can still create yourself if you're a guy. So yeah. It's not surprising, sadly, but still a bit disheartening to see that kind of stuff going on. And the same thing happened with FIFA when they introduced women, and also when they put the WNBA players in last year as well. And it's just you just feel like grow up, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know what's wrong with people in terms of that. You know, it's like, okay, so the mode's not for you. There's no need to chuck a hissy fit about it. You know, it's there for those who will enjoy it. It's like those who don't like Ultimate Team or My Team
teams, you know.
Yeah.
Content you're not interested in. I mean, well, don't play it, you know. It doesn't take anything away from the core experience, really. You know, you can still, if you want to play as a man, you can. If you want to, you know, that's the way it goes. So, yeah. But that is unfortunately the nature of people, especially online. But I think there has been a pretty positive reception to the news as well. You know, it's just that some of those voices do stand out, unfortunately. But the other thing, I guess, to note is that if you do create a female baller, they have the same progression system as the men, access to the same animations, moves, etc. So it'd probably still be a different experience to some extent, but you do actually have the same access to all the same progression system that they've been talking about, which we've covered before with the new traits and styles that they've added this year.
And icons.
And the icon styles, yep. So it is shaping up pretty well as far as the career mode and the hook of the Streets is concerned. I guess the other thing, you know, and I suppose we might get into this a little bit later as well, is that everything we've heard so far is about the Streets, basically, more or less. We have seen a bit of NBA gameplay in the first trailer that dropped, which was nice to see, and I'm sure there has been work going into the NBA side of things, but I really hope that they have that NBA sim. You know, it needs to be a big part of the game as well, because a lot of people, you know, this is, I guess, in some ways answering the call for a new NBA Street, in some ways, just not as exaggerated gameplay. But people who want an alternative to 2K also still want some of the same things in there. So it's important to have its own hook, and I know we've discussed it before, but, you know, Live needs its own hook, but it also needs to cover the basics of an NBA sim. So I do hope that that Live 19 has had improvement in that area too.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they have, you know. And yeah, I think given the time of year that it is now, I think we'll start to really know more for both games by next weekend. I think that's when we're going to start really hearing the bells and whistles element.
Well, I mean, we're getting towards being basically a month away from the games, you know, 5 weeks away at this point. So we really do need to start seeing some things about the game. It's getting late into the preview season. So, yeah, you're right. Probably starting next week, hopefully we'll get some more information. We'll certainly do our best to dig it up as well. Something else that has come out about NBA Live 19, though, it's not through really official channels, but more previews from Shaq News and other sources, although the Shaq News video is actually taken down now, it seems. But there are some gameplay videos that have come out there, a lot of footage, etc. But it looks like we'll have court customization this year in the One, which is very similar to some of the things we've been able to do in 2K. Obviously, 2K Pro-Am, and my team's also had it as well. But it looks like a pretty comprehensive court creator, which is, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like you can actually have some interesting graphics and stuff like that on it. From the few screenshots that I got to see, I didn't actually get to see, catch the video in time before it was taken down. I did try and look for it, but yeah, it's looking really like pretty robust as well in terms of what you can do with it. Might be a better layout system in terms of how to edit it compared to 2K, like a more simplified way of doing it. Like just the UI element of it for the settings.
Pretty user friendly, yeah.
But yeah, I'll mind seeing what they're getting hands on. And again, this is one of the things I stressed when I was there last year. Sort of the customizable sort of features and things you can creating in some way, doing something. So again, to me, it's a sign that that the team was listening.
Yeah, it's all out of depth. I mean, some people might look at that and say, "Oh, it's nothing special; it's just fluff." But no, I think it's one of those personalization details that having that kind of depth and those cool little features can just really make the experience. Sometimes it's just something else to really get you hooked and think, "Oh, well, that's pretty neat." Neat. had a bender moment there. So it may not mean a lot to some people, but I think it's a cool thing nevertheless. Also, I don't know if you get to see the Joel Embiid court, the custom court that was in there as well before the video got taken down. So that looked pretty cool. The other thing is that the footage, which was it ran for about an hour, the video that was there, and showed a lot of a lot of spoilers actually for the story, The Rise, which is the backdrop to the one this year. It also confirmed basically the four quarters in the games, which I think is a lot better than the first to 21.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the first to 21 is okay, and obviously it works out in the playground, my park in 2K, but I think not having the option of playing it playing the full quarters was one of the drawbacks in previous live games. Because it's funny, because years ago when we were first talking about Pro-Am, I think we all said, well, you and I said that we weren't really sure about the idea of having full rules and 5 minute quarters as opposed to first to 21, because first to 21 can certainly, when I played NBA Live 16 at the community event, actually around about this time 3 years ago, we had a lot of fun with the games, and first to 21 can be a lot of fun, but I started missing having proper rules and quarters and more structure and longer games.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got a way for both, that you can do both sort of modes, and I think they have sort of stated that you can play different types of modes and like all different rules, and whether it be first to 11 or 7 or 21.
Yeah.
So if they got that variety in it, that's that adds that element of variety. It could be, depending how much time you have, it could be best suited in your favor. It's like, well, I need to go out in like 20 minutes. I can probably, play, like a first to 21 game or a first to 11 or 15 or whatever, the brackets that they got for scoring in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, as opposed to playing like 5 minute quarters and stuff like that, you won't be able to finish the game in time. So, the fact that, you've got those different options, it adds that flexibility. And, just depending what you feel like playing at the time, you've got those options there. So I'm all for that. If they've got that in even just in that intro part to the one. So, yeah.
And it can be, as you said, the investment of time. And yeah. I think that's been some of our frustration with 2K Prime. There's other reasons why we've been frustrated with that mode. But compare that to when you and I have sometimes played the playground and had a bit more fun with it, oddly enough. It's been because we've been able to get a few quick games in, as opposed to having to spend 5 minute quarters, so accounting for stoppages, loading time, waiting for teams. You usually have to put aside maybe, would you say, 30 to 40 minutes for a game, usually?
Oh, yeah. Easy 40 minutes.
Even though it's 5 minute quarters with stoppages and loading, etc. So it's an investment.
And then having to go back to, if you need to go get an AGM or anything like that.
Yeah, things like that. It all adds up. So it's more of an investment. So you feel more frustrated if you don't have a great experience on top of that, or if it's laggy or something. You have a game of the playground that's not as good. You know, it's, what, five, seven minutes, something like that. I think we worked out the average game. You know, yeah. Not including standing around waiting for got next, you know, when you've got next. But, which, I mean, that's probably the more frustrating part about the playground, but that's another issue entirely.
It also depends on, you know, if, you know, the person is a dribble.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's
last minute shot. Yeah.
Individual aspects of the gameplay that do it. But sometimes we found we had more fun with the playground because they were just the quicker games. If we were losing, it was over pretty quickly, you know. And of course, we could just stop trying and let them score very easily if we wanted the game to be over. But whereas with Pro-Am, you can quit out of Pro-Am, of course, but then you lose progression, etc. So sometimes the quicker game is better. So it is good that they have those options in there. There's also an interview with Sports Gamers Online. Had a chance to talk to NBA Live 19 creative director Connor Dugan. He's actually talking about the games, some good information there. But he's actually asked about the possibility of a PC version of NBA Live. And there was kind of gave an enthusiastic answer and said, you know, it's not happening this year, which we knew already, unfortunately. But wouldn't rule out coming back in the future. And expressed his support for it coming back to PC, and actually even mentioned modding specifically, which I was quite surprised and you know kind of chuffed to hear. Really, cool to actually, you know, him saying, "Can you imagine the mods we are making?" Like, you know, I was like, "What?" You know, actually, because you know, it's not always something that they can openly acknowledge because mods don't always, you know, work within the copyright law, I guess, and likeness rights and things like that. So they can't always, like EA and 2K can't always really mention a lot about it. So the fact that he did. Yeah, I thought that was really cool and gave me hope that the PC version might exist again one day. Not this year, obviously, but maybe next year or the year after.
Yeah, you know, I heard him say that the mods and stuff like that, mentioned all the mods you could see, I was like, I got a little squealish and sort of like, yes, you know, again, because, you know, I showed him some stuff while there and, again, talked and hyped it up. And I know you have while you've been there and a few of the other guys that have also represented us at times. So
You met Connor when you were over there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did as well. Connor was there all 3 days. He was pretty much the lead guy that we had because Sean was so busy. And then Ryan Santos was there as well for the 3 days and that. Yep. So they were the two main guys that I've known over the years and that to really, you know, get the feedback and explain what's happening with the game. And, yeah, Connor was also the one to show us and take us around the office and meet the staff and what they were working on. And, again, this is where they showed, you know, the difference between what would have been the Live 17 sort of gameplay,
the drive to NBA Live or whatever that was going to be,
yeah, and then where they're at now, and like I said, you can see the huge difference even like within 3 months of work and all that stuff and the improvements and all that stuff and how less robotic a lot of the moves and that were becoming. So you know, you saw the progress and that from there, yeah, so that was really cool.
So be sure to check out that interview. I've posted it earlier this week. Custom Courts and NBA Live 19 gameplay footage and other details is the title of that. Actually, it was previous week now, but you can check that out in our NBA Live 19 subsite or just search for it on the front page there. But definitely worth checking out that interview because it's very cool to actually get the PC version get mentioned and certainly modding as well. But we are about 5 weeks away, I guess, from the release. I do want to hear more about NBA stuff, and hopefully we can set up some interviews and such. It's been a bit difficult in recent years. You know, there's been changeover in the community management and things like that with Live, so we've kind of had to reintroduce ourselves a couple of times. We obviously have met the developers, so we will be reaching out, seeing if we can set something up, and hopefully Ben will be able to tell us a bit more about the NBA side of things, and we'll certainly ask, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. You know, it would defeat the purpose of the title being NBA Live if that was the case.
Certainly, and you need to have that well-rounded product because you can see how it's really helped 2K. Speaking of 2K, we have some big news this week. We actually have our first developer blog. It is about My League, My League Online, and MyGM. Kind of interesting that they have the franchise modes of the first modes they talk about, because they're not as great as the franchise experience is in 2K in recent years, and actually for a long time they've done, even going back to Association, they were doing a really good job of that, even as Dynasty was kind of starting to lag behind in Live, unfortunately. But it's been really great since, you know, our good friend Leftos has been handed the keys, and Eric Benish has obviously really big on that as well. But even so, I mean, my career is the flagship mode and obviously the neighborhood and everything. So I was a little bit surprised, pleasantly so, to get this big blog on my league this early.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good blog, or in terms of the information. But I mean, I do have, again, skeptic glasses around in terms of why they haven't... why are they didn't open with, like, essentially the My Career stuff. And again, for me, it's...
Microtransactions, they get to hide what they've done with that kind of thing, you think?
Yeah, or... yeah. Sort of similar how they, you know, they tried to do the last year with the event with the neighborhood, and it wasn't until the actual event how they had the amount on, well, how many, basically nearly a million VC at people's disposal at the event, and it was like, well, that was a red flag there. So again, this is red flag for me. It's like, okay, so what are you hiding now? How much is everything going to cost this time?
Well, I mean, that's true, but the fact that I'm already thinking of taking a break from my career means that I'm probably going back to my league. So in that respect, I suppose it's good news for me in that way.
Yeah. But
the thing that I, you know, obviously we are critical of 2K because we have had our issues with microtransactions and other things that they've had in the directions in recent years, or especially the last year with 2K18. But, you know, as I said, they have had this fantastic franchise experience for many years now, and it was getting to the point where when we were doing the wish lists, and I'm doing my own wishes for the wish lists, I really couldn't think of a lot of stuff to do for my league because it's so deep already. So I am very impressed that they've actually added some really cool things when it seemed like those modes, you know, how much further could they go, and it seems that they found a way. So I am actually impressed with that. We'll get to the details in a minute, but right off the bat, I do want to say that I read this information, and yes, obviously, you know, there is some skepticism with any developer blog, but there is a lot of really cool stuff this year, so, and stuff that I didn't necessarily know that I wanted, but is pretty cool to have.
Yeah, well, some of the new things that they've sort of announced was some of the stuff that I originally had written down for many ideas or many concepts in that for games back even before this generation started in that, so yeah.
So we'll start with something that appeals to us, or would have appealed to us a couple of years ago when we were thinking of doing it before we really got stuck in a pro-am. My League Online is now basically more of a reflection of the offline experience. I'm just reading off my own summary here because it is such a huge blog. It'd be very hard for us to do it justice. So we definitely check it out for the full scoop. But we've highlighted some key points that we'll discuss today. So there's no more of the keeper system. It's full contracts, comprehensive front office management. League admins have a bit more control to set duration for completing off-season tasks. Participants have more access to information, including who is currently online. So it really sounds like the My League Online experience is what people have been wanting, which is the offline experience online.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the type of thing that we were looking at doing. It wasn't last year, it was the year before, was it?
2K17, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then we really got into Pro-Am anyway. And really enjoy that in 2K17, not so much this year, obviously, but enough of that. So that's really cool. I'm glad to see that. A whole lot of sliders have been added to tune offline My League. Just a very quick summary, various aspects of trade logic, salary expectations per player and player progression, that you can even go down to the individual attributes that you can do. So there's just an incredible amount of customization potential in 2K19 from the sounds of it. And it might be a way to actually address some of the issues that people have had in My League. As deep as it has been, some of the things with the sim engine haven't always produced great results. But it sounds like we've got access to pretty much everything now to really tweak the experience. So that is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's... Yeah, I know there were some issues last year in terms of it. Again, not having paid too much attention, obviously, because I've been focused on the whole career aspect of it, of the game, and as opposed to this, so, you know, this would be areas where I'd sort of, you know, if I was to get the game, I'd probably spend, you know, my time on this as like you said you would be as well. So yeah, I think
It's probably what I'll be playing the most of in 2K19 if I do end up spending time with 2K19. This and my team, I would imagine, because I'm just really over. I'll check out my career and see what it's like. You know, certainly just to give my impressions on it, if nothing else. But I am definitely burned out on it. So, but this is obviously sounding like a good year to get back into it. I know I said that previous years, but now it's more and more apparent that this is probably going to be the mode for me. So another thing that's been updated, it's not just for my league, it's creative player in general. It's been enhanced with both the face sculpting and more face sculpting tools, which I think we really needed because it really took a step backwards there. And also,
it was the most generic one that we've seen in terms of a creator player.
They seem to have taken a lot of it out, but it is back in, very detailed. And this will work for both creative players in general and also custom draft classes. And also, there's going to be player DNA, which is created player templates that can be shared. So this is it has been in the game before. It's back now under the name player DNA. I like it. It's you know, anything that we can share with customization in game is much better, because it's the old days of having to write all that information down and have people, you know, enter the details and everything. It's something I'd like to see in live, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is, yeah, one of the nuisance things, like, in past of having to, what setting did you have for this? Or, you know, trying to find that balance, and, you know, someone comes up with a pretty good balance of a lot of the settings. It's like, well, here, this definitely makes life easier in terms of that, instead of everyone having to put it in manually. So, yeah.
Having to enter all the ratings, because there's a lot of player ratings in 2K these days. So having to write them all down, having to copy them all down and enter them all manually, this is just going to be such a great shortcut. So that's definitely a great thing to see. My GM, which I haven't really spent a lot of time with because my league is more my speed when I have been looking to get into that. My GM is now more flexible. In addition to the story-driven approach, which is called The Saga Continues this year, there will be a story, but there's also the option to play my GM without the story, more like 2K17 and earlier, where it's still got the VC aspects of it, of buying the team eventually and doing certain tasks, although less so than in 2K14, of course, the first incarnation of my GM. It's more of a traditional experience without the story there. Now, I think that's fantastic, basically. I love that they've listened to the feedback in that regard, and that they're offering both the story-driven approach and just the RPG-driven without the story approach. So I'm glad that they've listened to people in that respect. And really, this is something they should do for my career as well, I think. Maybe they have. We haven't learned yet. But I think that would be great for my career, that if you have the option to go through the career with the story or without.
I don't know if they'll do it for my career. I think because of the way that thing makes money for them. But,
I think they still do the neighborhood, and you still have to use VC and everything, but just no cutscenes or anything. Like,
again, you know, if they've got sponsors like with Reese's,
and that's true, yeah.
You know, that was all about ad revenue more than. That's why the cutscenes weren't there, or the cutscene option.
Yeah. No, that is a great point, but I mean, it would be great to have the story, because, you know, I don't want to be nasty about it, but at the same time, the 2K18 story was so terrible. Especially after 2K17 was a pretty good story. I thought that was a decent backdrop for my career. I prefer no story at all, but if I have to have a story, 2K17's I thought was really good. 2K18,
that was funny because, I mean, there wasn't much of a story in 2K18, but it was just a hot mess of
characters, just terrible. Yeah, you know, we've talked about B-Fresh more than I care to talk about B-Fresh, but it just seemed like they went just the wrong direction with it. You know, we've talked about it before. So I think it would be a great idea there. Great idea here for my GM as well, obviously. The new story will involve you taking control of an expansion team. Apparently there's also going to be less forced things you have to do. Like you had to make a trade in my GM apparently last year. I never really ended up looking into the mode because, as I said, focusing on other things and then just got sick of the game. But I do think that's a better way of handling it. Other additions and enhancements. The draft's been enhanced with commentary and analysis. The new draft lottery system is also incorporated, and they're also introducing other aspects of the CBA. They'll have another year's worth of draft picks to trade in advance, new rule changes, and the ability to choose your own. You can actually now override awards as well if you don't like what the sim engine has picked. New formats for the All-Star Game and Summer League, and additional tracking menus. So they've added a lot more of the depth there. There's a new player mentorship system where you can have veteran players impact the development of younger players depending on their archetype. It's a much deeper franchise experience, which I think is really, again, I didn't think there was much that they could add, but they've found some really good things to add here.
Yeah, well, the player mentorship and the pre-created draft historical ones are two things that I was had in my idea bank like years ago, and that, like, for me, the pre-created one, as you've written it, for me that was the rewinded back feature, where you go back in time, and if you didn't like a draft pick that your team made back in the day, obviously with hindsight and all that stuff, you could change history in that sense. And they did go back pretty far. Like, obviously they haven't got every year up, well, they do for up until 1976, but my idea was to go back to the 1950s originally, but that was obviously going to be a bit tricky.
And these are the pre-created draft classes featuring historical players. So it won't actually be... I think it's basically bringing them into the current league. So it's a fantasy situation. It's not going to be like going back in time and playing it. Although I suppose you could if you edited the roster enough. They've got 1960, 65, 69, 70, 74, and 76 to 2017. And also, they can also be customized. So they won't be complete because some players aren't licensed.
Yeah.
And obviously, from the big names like Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller to random people who were drafted 20 years ago who are not included in the game in any way. So obviously, that's a situation that they have. But you can actually customize those ready-made draft classes and add those players with the new deeper creator player option. So, yeah, that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, one thing with the creator player too, with some of the hairstyles, you can actually change the length as well of the hair.
Yeah, so we've actually got so much more customization this year. It's a good start. It's because this was what I was more interested in doing this year, as I've said. So to get this kind of good news and for it to be the first thing to hear, I'm happy about that. I am getting 2K19. So if I do end up enjoying the gameplay and enjoying my league, it does seem like a really deep experience. I'm impressed because it has been such a deep experience already. So the fact that they were actually able to find new stuff to add, I do have to give credit where it's due. I know we're sometimes very critical, and we have high expectations for 2K as the brand leader, but as far as the franchise experience goes, I think that sounds like they've done a fantastic job this year. So kudos.
Yeah, it's, again, hoping it all works and it delivers on the initial promises and stuff like that. It does sound in a really good direction where they're going with it. And hopefully not too many issues with it. I really like, because I heard during the interview with Brian Mazik, isn't it, that the lead guy Eric, I think his name was
Eric.
He said that the MyGM story, like the one with the story mode in it, was masterfully written. So I'm holding him to those words. Yeah. I'm keen to sort of see, because I've from what I've heard with this, 2K18's one, it's pretty terrible in that sense. So I want to know what masterfully written seems like to him in that sense. So
well,
yeah,
I mean that's fair, especially after 2K18's My Career Story, which we do know more about. Again, we've talked about that at length, but. We know that developer blogs and everything are going to hype up the game. Obviously, they're going to focus on the positives. But we have gone back and looked at some of the 2K18 blogs about gameplay and noticed some discrepancies with what Baluba was talking about as far as some of the improvements that are coming up for 2K19 that he's mentioned in some of the interviews so far. Kind of contradict things that they said about 2K18. They talked about removing multi-actor animations and how that was sold as a good thing last year, but now it's admitting that that was a problem with the game, and that's why everything down to that's why the interior defense wasn't as good last year, so they had the band-aid fix of missing layups, more layups than you'd think, and probably why they took away the shot meter on layups, because you wouldn't get the feedback and say why are all these good releases missing in the paint. So it really feels like they've thrown last year under the bus, and I think we talked about this on the previous show. You kind of start taking some of these developer blogs quite cynically, you know, at least with a grain of salt.
Yeah, you know, especially with last year, and even like previous years, how they've stated that, you know, collision detection has really improved, and like 2K17's collision detection was pretty bad, but last year's one was by far the worst I've seen in a basketball video game.
Certainly of the current generation, anyway. I mean, obviously you go back to the really early days of basketball gaming and physics. So, not, you know, do we even call them physics? Is because a bit laughable with the way the models interact with each other and mesh into each other. Although we've kind of got some of that in 2K18 as well. But you do get cynical about it, and you want to take it, you know, at face value or whatnot. But at the same time, and you see some of the things that are contradicted, like you say, with they're talking about admitting these problems now, but it was a really different tune the previous year. So yeah.
This is stuff that even John has mentioned how much he's hated in the past. You know, how they'd bash the previous year's title, you know, when it comes to the blogs and all that stuff. And, you know,
after saying how good it was the previous year, and so you start to wonder. Well, you know, you said this last year, and now you're saying this. What are you going to be saying next year? Should we believe this? But with all that being said, I do want them to start showing gameplay. I guess we're not too far away from it. We were looking it up before we started recording. The Get Shook trailer came out August 16th last year. So I guess we're about a week or so away from possibly seeing the first proper gameplay trailer. The Momentous trailer dropped on release, and there were some other trailers with gameplay leading up to that. But we're getting to that point of the year where they do start dropping some gameplay, more gameplay blogs. We are seeing Baluba saying, letting us know about some of the new moves that are in the game and even giving us the controls for them. It'd be nice to actually see some little clips of them. I think that'd be fantastic if he was just dropping a few little clips of those gameplay moves coming out. But we are getting to the into the heart of the previous season where we are going to start hearing about these things and seeing the game. And I think it's... I think a lot of people, I mean, obviously the game is going to do well. 2K18 is the best-selling game. They posted the... Did you see the stats they posted? Well, you shared it with me. The stats.
Yeah, 10 million sold and all that. But yeah, I wonder how many people of that are still playing. It's like when Microsoft announced the, you know, Sea of Thieves has like had 5 million people play it, but how many people are still playing it because how shallow that game is, and you know, you can do everything in like 3 or 4 hours in that game. So yeah,
and with game, you know, a lot of running around the neighborhood, a lot of loading times.
Oh yeah,
obviously there's a lot of games played. If you take those numbers at face value, a lot of games have been played, like 70,000 years worth or something ridiculous like that collectively. But which says that people did at least gut out the game. I think people tried to enjoy it as much as they can, and it depends what mode you play and what experience you're after as well. But I think a lot of the hardcore gamers really were disappointed with 2K18. Certainly that is a popular opinion, if nothing else. And again, as you said, are people still playing it now as they were playing 2K17 all the way up to the release? Or, you know, is it people just playing that many games because they've got to grind, so they had to put that many hours in to actually get to a point where they felt fulfillment out of the game? And of course, with the hours played, there's a lot of loading and running around the neighborhood doing nothing as well. So there's that to take into account. But the point is, the game was still pretty successful by those metrics, at least. I imagine 2K19 will be similarly successful. But now, for a lot of us hardcore basketball gamers who've been playing for years and want certain things out of this sim title, it's... there are still some things that 2K19 has to show, because people were let down by 2K18, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, you know, they can't continue burning bridges and doing some of the things that they've been doing over the last few years without, you know, people finally questioning it. So, yeah, I think... I obviously, you know, 2K19 will sell well. There's not going to be no question about that, but... But yeah, I think people won't jump into it as easily. There'll be some people hesitating until they know more, or actually might even wait like a couple of days to even a couple of weeks after release, you know, just the sort of wait and see approach as opposed to the pre-order straight away even before they see anything.
It will be interesting given the backlash and given that some people are still expressing skepticism during the preview season, whether it will change at all. But, you know, I suppose if people are satisfied, they'll get it either way. I contribute to the problem, I guess, although in my defense, I'm a content creator, so I kind of have to always check it out to do reviews or whatnot. So I need to get back to some written reviews. I haven't done those the last couple of years, but I'll see what I can do when the game comes out, because we usually talk about it on the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
But we are obviously getting very close to hearing the final meat of the preview season over the next 4 or 5 weeks. I would imagine some more trailers dropping for both games, I would have to think. Still lots to know about my career and everything. So I guess we'll see. I hope it's more good news. I did like what I heard from the Minor League blog, as I said. So hopefully more good news as far as gameplay and the other modes are concerned. I am burnt out on my career. I'll give it a look just out of interest. But I think I'm going back to the traditional experience because it's just been too much of a grind last year. Too much of a grind.
Oh, yeah. And heavy on the wallet.
That too. Yeah. And as long as the online experience is dictated by microtransactions, as we've said before, you know, it's hard to take a stand against it. You either suffer through it, don't play it, or you pay. You know, and that's not necessarily a very appealing prospect to have, especially when the competitive balance is so dictated by the microtransactions.
Yep.
So on to another game, although it is actually technically still 2K news, as it turns out. We now know why NBA Playgrounds 2 was being delayed. It is, in fact, because they've partnered up with Take-Two. Take-Two 2K Sports will be publishing Playgrounds 2, which is now titled NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, which is not the... doesn't really roll off the tongue that easily. I think they could have just...
Too many twos.
Too many twos, yeah. And computers don't
terrible
like
twos.
Yeah, terrible twos. So Take-Two will be publishing it. It is still being developed by Saber. We don't really have any more new information about it. There is some excitement about the announcement because obviously it leads to speculation that we'll get legends like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant in the game, which is big, obviously, for the game. But at the same time, a lot of people are skeptical because, as has been pointed out, sometimes when the bigger publisher comes in and takes over with that small studio, it starts out with publishing, but they get their influence in. And then if things are being done the 2K way in Playgrounds 2 and beyond with this potential series going on, you know, with some of the recent direction of 2K with microtransactions and everything, there's cause for concern here.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's something that 2K are actually, like I said, you know, the CEO has stated, you know, that this is the direction they're going in. So the company will want return on investment straight away in this, you know, for publishing it. So I do expect that there'll be microtransactions to the extent, I don't know, but I think again that sort of cautious side of things, wait and see approach, I think is going to determine whether even I get this game as well. So
because already there's been a couple of comments in the group, in the Facebook group for NBA Playgrounds, that or NBA 2K Playgrounds as it is now, where Matthew Karcher has said that he can't talk about certain things now because there's another party involved, which is Take-Two, which means they're already kind of calling the shots, which means they're probably going to call more shots in the future. And maybe this does mean that it does mean great things like getting some extra players in and all the having the bigger studio to finance certain things and to have that relationship with the NBA and get extra content into the game could be really good. Hopefully it has that benefit. But you know, we've seen this situation happen before, and there's a reply on Twitter from a Dr. Feelgood, you know, shout out to Dr. Feelgood here, on Twitter, mentions, you know, Mass Effect, and says it always starts out as a big publisher only publishing, you know, then they take over. And we've seen other things happen. We've seen what happened when EA has acquired smaller studios and worked with smaller studios, originally just as the publisher, but then, you know, flexes their muscles as well. 2K... you know, what's happened with GTA, with the microtransactions and everything in GTA Online. So,
oh, yeah.
This is the current trend in gaming, especially when big entities are involved. And look, I know there's a lot of hate against big developers, and I'm not some indie snob here, because I obviously play a lot of AAA games. But again, it's that cause for concern. And 2K's track record with the last 12 months or so has been kind of anti-consumer. So there is, again, I see and I think, well, first of all, what could the potential bad news, what could happen with the game? But also, I mean, we still don't know anything else about the game itself. You know, we don't have any more information about the gameplay. We don't have more gameplay blogs or anything else, or really anything in the way of previews of NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. And they've gone quiet again since this announcement. All we know is that we don't even know whether we are going to get players like Jordan and Kobe in the game. So, you know, was this worth the delay? Is this really, this is what we were waiting for? This is the big thing, the big game changer, is that 2K is now publishing the game? I mean, my biggest concerns about Playgrounds was the quality of the game. And this doesn't really mean it, especially since, if putting all that aside, Saber is still, the people who developed the last game are still developing this one, so they've got something to prove there with the shortcomings of last year's game. So, I don't know, you know, I'm underwhelmed and underwhelmed and skeptical, and instead of being excited, that basically. So that's, I know some people are really jumping on it and getting excited about it, but I can see it either being a lateral move at best or not really moving the needle as far as the quality of the game, and at worst, introducing a lot of elements that would be not beneficial.
Detrimental.
Detrimental, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, and yeah, that's again why I'm holding off and until I know exactly what the hell's going on with what they're doing, and yeah, what Take-Two or 2K's influence is going to be on in the directions and mechanics and things like that, you know, and is it going to be another pay-to-win system,
or indeed a lot of grinding, which was kind of a problem in the first Playgrounds as well. So, you know, hopefully we are just being skeptical, cynical, but it is, if nothing else, getting the backing of the big studio, big publisher, is probably going to be good for the future of the games being able to turn into a series. But is the series going to be as good as it can be? You know, especially if it makes certain design choices. That's what it's going to come down to, whether they've actually learned from the problems of the first Playgrounds. Because there were issues with broken promises and the game not living up to its potential. As I said in Monday Tip-Off, the time is now for EA to get back into the game with a new NBA Jam. Because if they bring out an updated On Fire edition, port that to the current generation, update the rosters and everything, maybe a few little new wrinkles, new things in the road trip, the campaign mode, I reckon that would easily be the best arcade game of this generation, just like that. Because On Fire edition was a spectacular game, a spectacular arcade game.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, if it is a move that 2K have done to try and force the hand of it, then yeah, let's see the competition go from here in that sort of sense.
And we've seen what happens without proper competition in the sim, as far as the sim games are concerned. Again, with 2K being able to do whatever they want as far as as microtransactions and everything, and some of the other decisions they've made. What are you going to do? Live has either not come out or not really been where it needs to be yet. You know, that is changing, but it's, you know, they're still coming back and winning everybody over. 2K having such a big market share has not necessarily been a great thing in some respects. And if they do the same thing to arcade games, you know, the big appealing thing of Playgrounds is that it wasn't EA or 2K. It was somebody else coming out with it. It was another publisher. But now if 2K is going to get their, you know, their hands on that in some way, and it's going to become a part of the 2K family, as they're putting it, well, I think EA should respond with a new jam. And yes, I know a lot of people want streets, but A, they're basically doing this NBA Street in the streets, in NBA Live at the moment. And I think with Playgrounds being that street aesthetic, I think Jam would be enough of a difference. And also, it's also a classic brand. It's NBA Jam. And the last couple of NBA Jam games from EA, despite what some people would say, were great games, especially On Fire Edition. So I think it's time, like I said, time to light the fire on a new NBA Jam.
Yeah, I reckon so too. And, you know, given that EA do have, obviously now, or technically at the moment, have the upper hand in terms of, you know, the quality of the sort of arcade sort of game, and that, you know, this is where they could, you know, flex their muscle like 2K is trying to be doing in the sim game element. So, yeah.
Definitely. And while Live has made those missteps and is trying to come back, EA does have some very good arcade games under its belt with both Street and of course the two jam games they did once they got that license. So I'm all for it, and more games on the market, and Jam is the original. Yeah, I'm hoping to see Jam again, basically. And we thought something might be happening when Tim Kitzrow kind of alluded to something earlier this year, but nothing's really materialized, unfortunately. I would love to see it.
Same.
So before we wrap up this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about some real NBA topic here. It's, I guess, not the most exciting topic. We're at that point of the offseason where basically all the big moves have happened, I think, Ben. I think Dwayne Wade might be the only name that we're really waiting on to hear what happens. Although Carmelo Anthony, I don't think, is officially signed yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's officially signed either. So, yeah, I think that's really about it as well.
Carmelo Anthony and, of course, Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade has the offer, 3-year contract in China. Do you reckon he goes there, or do you reckon he plays a couple more years in the NBA?
I reckon at least one more year in the NBA, and then he might consider, and you know, whether he stays in the Heat.
There is mutual interest.
Yeah, like the Heat do want him back, and I think, you know, have that, you know, that proper full season with the Heat farewell tour. I think that'd be deserving in that sense, and I think, yeah, I think that'd be the right move.
I would like to see him go, you know, go out with the Heat like that. I think it's, you know, he's accomplished pretty much all. He had a great career in the NBA. It's kind of a shame to see him coming off the bench, but
yeah,
that's where he is, and he's comfortable with that role. So, see if he does return to the Heat, if that's what he does. I mean, you look at Vince Carter, who hasn't won a championship, but he's said that ring chasing is not for him. So that's why he's gone to the Hawks, to be part of the rebuilding effort there and be the mentor. He knew about the mentorship in my league, you see. So he's the real life version of that. So I respect that from Vince Carter. I would not hold. I don't think anyone could hold it against him if in his 20th year in the league, Vince Carter, or 21st year in the league actually, if Vince Carter was to sign with the team to win a championship. If he went to the Warriors, you know, that's funny because they actually drafted him and traded him to the Raptors for Anton Jamison back in the day. He's a college teammate, so. He finally finishes his career with the team that drafted him, having never played with them for his whole career. So it would be a funny situation if that happened. But I respect that he wants to say, well, look, championship would be nice, but he had a chance to compete in his prime. He doesn't feel it would be the same and would rather be part of something where he can give back to the younger players. I think that's admirable.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a different perspective on things, and it's a decision he's comfortable with in that sense. And, yeah, it's not about himself in that sort of sense. So, yeah, I think that's you know, a good way to go, or good decision to make in that sense. A good way to go sounds pretty morbid in that sense.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd. The other thing is the change in design of the Lakers jerseys. They've unveiled their new look, going with a bit of a throwback design for their jerseys, very much like the old Showtime Lakers. Not quite that same, but in a very similar vein, except for their purple jersey, which has a very strange black stripe down the side, which is kind of like the panel that they've had in the design they took in from 99 onwards, with the stripes down the side, that trim. But the black just seems really out of place. Quite a few Lakers fans don't seem to be that keen on it either. It's somewhat of a strange look.
Yeah, it's like they, you know, put parts of the Hollywood Knights or Kobe's sort of Mamba Knight sort of jersey on it. I think, yeah, this might work, and probably doesn't. I think those two, like the Mamba Knight and Hollywood Knight ones, work on their own in that sense. And to sort of, I guess, throw a bit on to one of the more traditional sort of uniforms than that, and it just doesn't work, I think, in that sense. So I wonder if they'll make any late changes to it, or, you know, if they've write it out for this year and change it for next year.
It's... I can't help, as much as I'm a bit of a Nike fanboy, I can't help but be disappointed with the way that the jerseys have turned out, to be honest. The best I can say is there's no sleeves.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the new jerseys, yes, I do like. I think that sort of the back of the shoulder cut does throw a lot of a lot of some of the aesthetic off in a lot of ways.
That's one of the things I don't like about it. The new Nuggets jersey, I think, is pretty good. The new Grizzlies jersey that they've just released, just unveiled, the word mark is very small on them. That's what I don't like about that. It's a very minor change otherwise. I do like the mem around the collar, kind of in the same way that they had the Vancouver, when they were the Vancouver Grizzlies back in the day. A bit of a throwback to that. I do like that, though.
Yeah, the actual logos that they've unveiled, I actually prefer the previous ones. I like that the three blues that they use as opposed to that grey in that sort of sense. And especially on the distinction of the Grizzlies' actual nose or snout aspect, you know, it helped define it more in that sort of sense, and with the really pale light blue in that sort of sense. So kind of disappointed they got rid of that colour. And yeah, just the original Paul logo, the secondary one, I think looked more natural in the previous one as opposed to this one. It just doesn't quite have that natural look to it. It's more forced than, strangely more cartoony.
Well, you know, the one thing I will say is that although there are some issues with the colour there, I do like that it's not another, they haven't just gone with another circular logo.
Yeah.
Because we've got too many of those. The Nuggets new logo is a circular, the primary logo is a circular logo as well. Although they've done an updated skyline version, which is, which I like, in the vein of the rainbow, the old rainbow logo. But, yeah, I felt that some of the recent rebranding just hasn't been as really to my liking. It's just seemed a bit too much of the same. Or it's either a step in the wrong direction or it's just all the same with all these circular logos. It's been a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I can understand that, and I agree with a lot of it as well. I think in most cases it hasn't worked. I think maybe in one or two it kind of does, but yeah.
On the bright side, for the moment, our teams have pretty good designs for the most part, so there is that. It's just the weirdness of having the red jersey at home for the Bulls, you know, this whole changing to the association and icon and everything, and the no standard home and away jersey. I don't really agree with that approach. I think the traditional method worked fine. There was a reason for it. It meant consistency, but I guess it is what it is. They want to put their stamp on the game, and there's bigger problems with the game, but again, that also frustrates me as well. They're changing the jerseys, but they're not fixing flopping or things like that. It's a bit frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely some more important things to fix in the game in that sort of sense, and you know, get rid of some of the crap that can ruin the game and that. So yeah.
But with that being said, you know, it's season is just a few months away, of course, and I suppose we'll see how it all turns out. Could be an exciting season with a few big names changing teams and moving around or staying where they are. So, you know, we'll see how things turn out in the East, especially.
Yeah, I think the East would be the more interesting because, you know,
it's wide open now. So
it definitely won't be a complete repeat, rinse and repeat thing each year.
But so. I do see the Warriors going for a three-peat somehow. It'll have to be.
Yeah.
Unless the Rockets or somebody can really step up.
It'd take a lot to beat that team. Like, even if just one of them have a bad day, you got four other freaking all-stars that can just...
I mean, like we said in a previous podcast, this could have been the best shot for the Rockets, really, to do that. And now, you know, they came close. Came a quarter away from it, basically. But as my old coach said, you know, close doesn't really count. You know, one of us take a bad shot and, oh, it almost went in. Yeah, but it didn't go in. So you don't get literal points for trying, basically, in sports. Aussie rules football, you get one for getting close in the side goal, but whatever.
Yeah.
But not the way it works in basketball, of course. At least not until they change the rules so you get half a point on a missed free throw or something.
That'd be just chaos.
I don't even want to give them ideas at this point. So that brings us to the end of episode number 258 of the NLC podcast, catching up on a couple of weeks of news there. More news to come, I'm sure, and hopefully more good news, Ben, for both games.
Yeah, fingers crossed. You know, we want both games to be good, and, you know, any flaws from previous or recent years and that, you know, we want them to sort of really work hard on and change. So.
Definitely. And we will stay on top of that news as best we can. with news posts, forum posts, and of course future episodes of the NLSC podcast. So we do encourage you to tune in each and every week if you like listening to us talk about basketball video games and a little bit of real basketball as well. If you do, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on Podcast Addict, Stitcher, and other podcatching apps, I should say. Just search for NLSC Podcast and you'll find us. We've also got some links up in the forum as well for that. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. Facebook is facebook.com/the NLSC. Instagram is NLSC Basketball. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is it until next week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like a lot of previews soon will be, hopefully.